Content presented on the following podcast is for information purposes only. The views and opinion expressed from hosts and caregivers are solely given based on the experiences of the individuals involved. Because each person is so unique, always consult your physician, physical or occupational therapist, or medical and fitness advice. Are you struggling to help your aging parents or disabled spouse to do everyday personal care tasks? Are you concerned about them falling or you injuring yourself? What is the task that is so difficult for you to help them to do? You are not alone. We can help. Tell us your challenge. Here, you can receive practical tips and strategies from an occupational therapist and from other caregivers like yourself. And here is your host, Consuela Marshall.
Hello, I'm Consuela. And I'm an occupational therapist. And on this podcast, you get to learn about your role as a caregiver. You get to embrace your limitations, learn how to best provide for the needs of your loved one in a safe and efficient manner. And you get to know that you're not alone. Look, every caregiving story is so different. And it's you who get to write that caregiving story for your life. You get to learn how to take care of your loved ones. You get to learn how to accept that you cannot do it all. And you get to learn what to let go. And you get to learn what to pick back up, how to pick back up your life, how to walk in tune with your life while also caring for your loved one. Look, I believe you can still find a way of taking care of your loved ones while also taking care of yourself. So stay tuned. We've got some caregiving to talk about.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Caregiver's Mind in the Foothold. I'm always so excited to share information with you that is going to make the moment your feet hit the floor in the morning to the moment you go to bed at night as a caregiver, making that day so much easier for you. And even making those caregiving tasks that go into the night a little bit easier for you. So finding a foothold is all about making life as a caregiver easier. When I can share information with you that's going to make how you're assisting with those tasks that you have to do easier, man, that makes me so happy. Because if you're not doing a caregiving task, that means you're doing more of your life. So I want you to get it. I want you to get it that you still have a life and that caregiving still has to be done. But there are some things that are not meant for you to do. And there are things that you don't have a choice but to do them. But the tasks that you are to do, there are ways to do them. I mean, there are ways to assist that parent that can help more. To help more, that parent that cannot help more, there are ways for you to do that task all by yourself easier. There is more than one way to do something, and I'm here to share information with you that you can say, oh, I've never thought of it that way. I'm going to do that. That's why it takes me so long to do this, because I never thought that I could just move this thing around in their bedroom. Make more space in doing this, putting this right here so she can hold on to this and she'll have a little bit more confidence and can help more with a task. Or Dad would do more if I had this in place. There are things as an occupational therapist that I want to share with you that I've learned in being a caregiver to my mom, and I've learned in doing over 25 years of home health therapy, in teaching caregivers how to do things in a little bit of different way, that at the end of the day, you can say, my, what am I going to do next? I'm finished. I finished with that. I'm doing it this way. And oh my gosh, I learned to say no. And I learned and I realized, you know what, at this stage in her illness, that I shouldn't even be doing it that way anymore, that this was more practical. I want you at the end of the day, not the end of months of doing things the wrong way or going through caregiving and you're always so tired. Yeah, we'll have those seasons, but I know on a day-to-day basis that you're losing time. You're putting needed time and energy into doing things the hard way. I don't want to show you the easier way of doing things. I want you to consider different ways of doing tasks. So that's why I'm here. Okay, and I want to stop right now and say happy holidays. Look, I get so excited about doing the podcast, but I want to say happy holidays and I want to say Merry Christmas to you caregivers. And if you're saying I don't have a lot to be merry about, I understand. I've been there, not just during Christmas. It's just during life functions when I didn't get to go places or I didn't get to participate in my children's sports all the time until I woke up one day and say, you know what? I can stay on a negative train of thinking, oh, pitiful me. Well, I can do what I'm going to do. I'm teaching people to do now and sharing that with other people and seeing them having the same outcomes is such a blessing for me. And let's jump in. So today I want to really talk about those of y'all who are going home for the holidays. In going home for the holiday, I want you to do it with different lens. Yes, go in, be so glad and so happy to see mom, dad, grandma, all of those people you love. But also this year, I want you to go in with your safety goggles on, meaning going in and seeing if you can identify some hazards, some concerns that may present problems and even lead to some falls in the home or leading to them not being as active in the home and not attending to even some of those personal care tasks because they are now knowing that there's some safety concerns and they're not sharing those with you. So I want you to go in with your eyes on, and once you've identified some of those concerns, it is then how you approach your loved one in making some recommendations. I want you to avoid being critical. I want you to avoid being demanding. I want you to avoid using harsh words, and I want you to approach everything lightly with some touch of humor, if it's appropriate, but with some seriousness in things that you want to point out. And I want to say, don't point out everything, but stick to some of the big things that you're seeing and offer solutions and being willing to help in making those changes happen for them. Then, and get their input. You know, as you're coming up with recommendations that you want to make, present them like multiple choice solutions in ways of resolving a problem. Throw out a lot of options, get their input. Look, they have a say-so because the more input that they have in the choices to make, the more likely they are going to be receptive to change. So look, let's jump in and let's talk about it. So the first thing I want to do is I want to encourage you to look at their balance. Looking at their mobility, are they stable? Are they having signs of unsteadiness? Are they having to hold on to things to take one step? That as they are stepping, they're reaching out and holding on with something in the left hand, then the right hand, then the left. Those are signs that they're having balance problems. And what could be done about it? It could be caused by many things. It could be pain. It could be inner ear balance issues. It could be vision. There's a load of things that could be problems laid into why they are having issues. Are you looking at, are you seeing anything new that looks really odd? Is one side of their body not as strong as the other? Are there things that are going on in their health that someone really needs to take a look at? So lovingly point out some things and offering to see if someone could go with them to doctor's appointments. And they're trying to get to what are some of the root causes of these problems that you see. And if your loved one has already been identified as having some balance problems and they're using devices like walkers and wheelchairs and canes, make sure those devices are working properly. You want to make sure brakes are working on wheelchairs, that maybe if their walker needs tennis balls on the walkers to help them roll easier in the home, and that canes have rubber tips on the bottom of them. look at those devices and make sure they're in proper working order. And other things that you want to look at would be just the lighting in the home. Is there enough lighting in the home so that they can be able to move around in the home? Look, if they're like my mom, she entered rooms, she turned lights on and off all the time. And there were always different dark areas that she had to go into in order to get to a light switch. Looking at, is there options for gifting them motion sensor lights that come on when they enter the room and they automatically go off when they're out of the room? Those are gift options that you can easily and hurriedly get and give to them while you're in their home that they can receive as just being Christmas gifts or just gifts in general and not really being something tied to what they think is that they're not doing so well in their homes because some are just not as open to making modifications in their homes as others. You want to look for rugs in the home, Bay Area rugs that are in common pathways in the home, especially if that loved one is using a walker or a cane, making sure that they're secure to the floor and any rugs in the home. If they have seen their life cycle, they don't have any rubber backing on them anymore. That when you're standing on that rug, you're just sliding under your feet. Gift them with new rugs. Talk about decor issues. They're like, ooh, I think this will look good in this room. And, you know, you're sort of changing things, not because of safety if that person's not receptive, but just doing it again as if you're gifting them with something. Now, if this is a person that really wants to have safety issues addressed in their home, they definitely mention, like, look, I know you're always concerned about falling or they're open to you talking about fall issues with them. Then you can really explain why these changes would be beneficial to them in reducing the types of issues that you're seeing or the risk of falls in the home. So let's go right into the bathroom. Now, this may be an area you can't get in there with them and see them in the bathroom, but you can do your investigative work. Well, you can be I spy in there, like, I spy something not right, you know, and really looking at things from your vantage point in, you enter the bathroom, you're sitting on the toilet. Is it difficult for you to get off of the toilet? Then if it's difficult for you, it may be difficult for them. And then you want to look for signs of things being pulled out of the wall. If you knew all of your life that there was a toilet paper holder and it's no longer in the wall, it's been pulled out of the wall and is no longer there, or you're looking at towel racks, towel bars for hanging towels are now loose and dangling, then they're probably using them to pull up on to get off of the low toilet. So there are things that can be done in the bathroom that can help with that, in buying toilet risers for the toilet and putting grab bars in key places that can assist with them being able to toilet safely. Because sometimes they will avoid toileting because they know it is so difficult. So you'll have that loved one that is going to avoid going to the bathroom when they need to, meaning they may sense the urge to urinate, but they're not going to go because it's so hard to get off of the toilet that they may wait until the urge comes back again before they go. Not a healthy thing. It can lead to some UTIs. So there are little things that can happen that can decrease the quality of their lives and the medical aspect of their lives when they're sort of forced to make decisions because they're trying to be safe, or they're avoiding drinking water as often as they need to because, you know, it's so hard to get off of that toilet. So those are things that I do see when I'm doing home health that can be easily remedied by just making sure grab bars in place or the toilet is at the right height. And again, you know, proceed with caution. Being light with that, you can even say, oh my gosh, that toilet is so low, I can hardly get off of it. You can say that to them when you finish using the bathroom and making light of it and like, look, I'm getting something because I can't get off of that toilet. And you can go to the store and find a device that can fit on their toilet that can help with that. And while we're in the bathroom looking for those slippery rugs that they use because they have them at the sink, but there is no rubber backing on them and they slide when you're walking on top of them, those are all hazards. Then you want to look at the tub and the shower. Look, that's a big, big hazard. Does it look like the tub is not even being used? That they've stopped taking baths altogether because they can't get in and out of the tub. It's not a bad decision. It is actually a safe decision if that person has opted not to take a bath because they can't get in and out. But there are other options before just totally saying, I'm not going to use the tub anymore. There are seats, there are benches, there are different types of grab bars that can be used. And if they already have suction grab bars, they're not my favorite. But if there's no grab bars in bathrooms, you can even say, Mom, I have to have something to hold on to when I get out of your tub because there's nothing. So when you're getting in and out of it, you're taking a shower or you're taking a bath at their home. Look at how you feel and you're able-bodied and looking at what could be hazards for them and making recommendations for things and shopping. And I can't say this enough. Give them options. In letting them pick out things by finding maybe two items that would solve the problem and allowing them to choose which one they may like. Getting them involved in changes is key to them not feeling like they're losing control of their lives, of their homes, and not having an input in something and not having them to feel like you're trying to take over their life. And other things that you want to look at, if it's a two-story home, at what point is it not safe for them to go up onto a second level of a home? And are there any handrails on the steps? Those things can be easily remedied. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about clutter. When you get to the home and they have clutter, they got things all around the recliner where they sit and things are just tripping hazards. That's a sticky subject because part of the things with clutter is that there's some sentimental attachments to some things. And so, but just making sure the direct paths where they walk are free of clutter. So not going in and say, oh, your house is so messy. You don't get rid of anything and you're really ranting about things. That's probably not the approach to use, but just saying, can we move it to the other side in a soft manner, which doesn't put them on the defensive, because once they're defensive, you're not going to get a lot of traction in making things safer for them around the home. So then as you're going into the living room, just making sure they can get on and off of those favorite seats that they like to sit on. Because if they have to struggle to get off of a seat, whether it's the sofa or recliner or whatever chair they're sitting in, they're going to move less. They are going to minimize getting up because they have this fear of falling or this fear of exerting all of this effort that's going to be needed to get up. So you have things that happen like they'll have this thought about, oh, I want to go get a sip of water, but then they don't want their knees to hurt because that chair is so hard to get out of. So they're going to sit and not get the water until they need to get something else. So they're going to wait until maybe they need to get up to go take their medicine. So then they'll go up and get water then, or they'll wait until something that they can do multiple tasks at one time. And what all of this does is this fear of falling or this fear of exerting effort or fear of pain, it keeps them from being as active as they need to be. If they can easily get on and off of a seat and move about, they don't have to stop moving. They can get up and easily go do this and sit back down and then get up 10 minutes later and go do that. That's natural. That's what we all do. And of course, yes, we slow down, but there are some aging older adults that will sit all day. They've sat down and they're going to not go to the bathroom. They're not going to go get that water. Something's going to pop in their mind that they wanted to go check on. And then they're going to like, oh, but I don't want to get up. Then they're going to forget to check on that particular thing. And it's just a snowball effect in their cognition. And because they're sitting so long, they're not even stimulated. Because
a wrong environment can really debilitate someone's life. And I cannot stress that impact of a improperly set up environment for someone who is elderly affects them physically, mentally, emotionally, cognitively. It goes into all areas of their life. And there are some things you can change to lessen that effect on them. And other things that you want to look at in the kitchen, looking in the refrigerator, just making sure food is not old and outdated, that they're eating properly. You want to look at the variety of foods that they have on hand. It could be a sign that they're maybe in some cognitive issues there where they just don't have the cognitive ability to know when to get rid of food or to remember to eat properly, or even with taking medications. Looking at when and how they take their medications and just making sure everything is okay. So not to put a damper on the holiday visit. Now, you're not there to just point out everything and it becomes a fighting match and they don't want you back and you don't want to come back and you're frustrated and like, I don't care, whatever. You do care and you want things to be easier for them. But a way of doing it is just approaching things lovingly. Ask if you can make recommendations. Use it the gifting option for just gifting them things that can make life easier. So that's where you can start as you're in the home with that favorite loved one, those grandparents, those parents, and just watching out for physical hazards and looking for signs of cognitive impairment with things like them not remembering a recipe that they've made hundreds of times. Those are things that maybe signs of, you know, you maybe needing to dive in a little bit deeper to make sure things are okay. And just making sure they have the right support. You know, and somebody that you can give them a list of things to, making sure that there's somebody who can follow through on some of those things, some grandchildren or other relatives that can come in, or you spending that time and coming back and saying, I need to take care of these things for my parents. But there's some more you can do now in being proactive, in making sure they're safe in the home. It's going to mean that they can be more independent and they can stay in their homes longer. The more you can support them in identifying things and being proactive now on what can be done to improve their level of safety in the home, the longer they can stay in the home. Unfortunately, there does come a time when it's not practical and it's not safe because of the many physical conditions that are present or cognitive issues that are present. That is not a safe thing. Then you want to know when is it feasible to start adding in additional help for them. And the more you can do things to keep them safe, the longer they're going to be able to stay in their home. The longer you can keep them involved in their own care, it's going to give them more purpose in life, and it's going to delay that need for you to come over and do things on a daily basis, or even having to hire someone to come in and to do those things for them. So enjoy your holiday with your loved ones. Look for those safety risks that are presenting themselves. And for those who need help in that area, here at Finding a Foothold, I do offer group coaching. And there is a group coaching program. There are two that I offer. One is on losing you in caregiving. And it is for those caregivers who are heavily vested in caregiving, meaning it is now becoming overwhelming in the amount of work that you're having to do in supporting your loved one. And you feel like you've lost yourself. That group coaching program helps you to see options for how to find that proper balance in caregiving. And if you're that loved one, that one that I just described in the podcast, that really wants to support your loved one's desire to remain in their home as long as possible, you want to do something to help your mother, your father, your grandparents, because, you know, they've always said they want to stay in their homes as long as possible. There are things that can be done. And that's the second group coaching program. And it is called Staying Safe in Your Home. It is for you, that caregiver who wants to learn those practical things that you can do that can help increase the safety and the independence of your loved one. Or you have that loved one that, look, they want to be in their home and they want to do whatever it takes. They're like, what? You tell them what to do and they want to do it. They just don't know what to do. And they're looking for options because they don't want to go into assisted living. They want to stay in their homes as long as possible. That group coaching program is also for them, where they can enroll and learn how to make those changes that can allow them to age in place, to age in place safely and remain in their home as long as possible. So take advantage of those two group coaching programs if that's something that you need. And otherwise, keep listening to the podcast. There's always tips. There's always options. There's always things that I like to share that can help you help your loved one and help you help yourself in caring for your loved one. So there's always things available here at Finding a Foothold. It could be in the blogs. It could be here on the podcast. And if you have questions and you want me to address a certain topic on the podcast, hey, send me a message and using that jot form in the show notes, and I will make it one of the topics in a future podcast episode. So look, I'm here to help. So just reach out. I mean, thank you for being a part of the Finding a Foothold community. And if you haven't subscribed to the emails, subscribed to the Finding a Foothold community. And what it does, it allows me to send the podcast and the blog directly to you whenever a new episode is released. And it also gives me an opportunity to share information that I might find may be a benefit to the community. So just check it out. And look, thanks for tuning into this episode and share it with others. And have a great holiday season and a Merry Christmas and good things and more things to come in 2024. So thank you for all that you do as a caregiver. See you soon.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Caregivers Finding a Foothold. We hope you found information that was useful and encouraging to you. And we want to invite you to visit the website, findingafoothold.com, and look at the resources that are available to you there. And also, we encourage you to follow us on our social media accounts, findingafoothold.com, on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And thank you so much for being a caregiver. And our desire is that you find your foothold in caregiving. Thank you so much. And we'll see you again on next episode. Take care.